TIC Productions presents India's premier Bollywood podcast. You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host Aditya and I have with me Janshaz Khan.
Great to be back, Tish. Great to be back.
Long overdue return. After you declined my invitation, or rather didn't respond to my invitation to be part of Such in a Billion Dreams.
It was a dream of mine to actually review that one. Sorry I missed your message there.
One other thing to note for listeners, I don't know if you can tell, but like my throat is completely gone, so my voice probably sounds a little different, but it is genuinely me and not some imposter who's taken over my show for a week. Although I wouldn't mind if someone does take over the show for a week, because there will be weeks where I miss out on a movie, like Mom last week. I didn't get a chance to see, and hence there was no podcast. So
what were you doing instead?
I was in Lonavala with my mom and dad. So
it's a fair excuse, I think.
Yeah, so that was a unfortunate miss. I really wanted to see it, and I could have gone to see it this week as well, but I figured Jagga Jasus would probably have more general interest, so decided to go with that. All for you, listeners. It's all for you. Always keep your interests at heart. Okay, now that I'm done rambling, Jagga Jasus Shaz. Since my throat is gone, you can take the floor and be the star of this show.
Perfect. So I went in with absolutely no expectations because the trailer is a bit all over the place. It has animals wandering around, him in a school. It really gives nothing away. And I, even after watching the movie, I'm trying to recall everything I've seen because it is really... It's amazing how they managed to fit so much content into this movie and made the story work around it, because there's three or four stories, as someone who watched the movie will see, that are told, and are told really well, in my opinion. The movie does run a little long at 3 hours, but overall I think it was a very creatively shown musical action adventure. Basically goes through all the genres, and I was actually really impressed by the acting and the ingenuity in the way the story was, or stories were told. What were your thoughts, Fish?
Damn, that sounded like a very well thought out critic's answer. I don't know if I can match that. But see, my overall view, I thought the first half was fantastic. And at the interval stage, I was like really happy. I actually went in with reasonably high expectations just because of all the people involved in making the movie and from what I saw. So there were two trailers actually, Shaz. I don't know if you caught the second one. The first one is, I think, what you were referring to, which is just a bunch of animals and there's no dialogue and there's nothing.
Yeah.
The second trailer actually is more like a real trailer. The first one is like the world of Jagga Jasus. That one has a bit of this thing as to what the story is, and it's actually a pretty good trailer. So I was had reasonably high expectations about it, and I heard good things about it going in as well. And so, and at the interval stage, I was like, yes, this is meeting all my expectations. I'm so happy. The second half, I felt like it really loses its way. And obviously.
At what point? Sorry to interrupt, but just to catch you there, at what point do you remember kind of feeling your attention wavering?
I think it really wavers once Saurabh Shukla comes into Ranbir's life directly, where they meet. After that, it all goes haywire. Because until then, you have these smaller narratives or smaller mysteries, which are many mysteries in with this larger underlying mystery going on in the background of this whole illegal arms dealing and airdropping of weapons and stuff. Once it gets to resolving that plot and it gets to him going to Kenya in search of his father, sorry listeners, spoiler alert, Should have said that before, but now you know. I still haven't revealed anything, technically. So
yeah, you haven't.
Once that happens, it just goes like way out of proportion. It's also, I felt that whole sequence is really badly, not that whole sequence, but the whole second half of the movie, I felt is really badly edited. Because it just goes from one situation to another without much of a transition. There's the, like, for example, and I understand they had a lot of issues finishing the movie and with budgets and all of that. So I understand it at some level. But it feels like it felt like an unfinished product to me. And it felt like quickly, the second half felt very like, you know, quickly stitched together to get something out. As opposed to the thought and craft that went into the first half. For example, there is a, you know, when they finally go into that base in Kenya where all the shipments are being prepared and has to go into this train or whatever.
Yep.
There's that one moment where him and Katrina are approaching the thing and she like knocks that rock over and it goes down and it like falls halfway. Yeah. The next scene, they are already inside the thing, dressed up in this like army outfit and pretending to mingle in with all the people there. There's like zero transition between that to there, which makes it very clear to me that that part was shot before. They hadn't shot the transition yet, and then they had some issues with all the delays and stuff that happened, and so they couldn't shoot that in between transition, or when they did, it wasn't working. And so things like that just kind of ruined the flow for me. I also felt it then, the length became an issue because these plot points kept dragging out, and they then started playing more fast and loose with the rules that they had created themselves. Like when you find it's a musical, even though it is a musical, most of the things that were happening were still within the realms of believability or rationality to some point. But then there was a point where it just got into kind of ridiculousness. Like when they get confronted at the last by those in the hotel room by those Kenyan security guys and Saurabh Shukla, where Saurabh Shukla gives the Kenyan guys the order, all in song and dance, gives them the order to fire, and then Katrina is like, in Kenyan or whatever, is main tum sab se shaadi kar lungi. And then they all pause, and then everyone just dances for like 2 minutes, and then they escape. And then you watch that, it's just like, okay, now I'm like, I've like lost faith in you in terms of your whole premise and your whole this thing. So I felt like the second half kind of let me down. But I felt, despite that, it was definitely a really well-made film in terms of the cinematography and the attention to detail and the performances, including Katrina, who's got a lot of hate for her performance. But I felt that
she has actually,
yeah.
For what?
I mean, her accent, her one-toneness. This is not my views. This is the other people's views. Right. Her accent is a problem, but that is, you know what you're getting when you cast someone for that or when you go to watch a film with her. And they obviously have a convenient London backstory to justify that. I actually thought, apart from the accent, she did a good job. Like, she gets.
I thought
that,
she was really good.
Yeah.
I thought she was fantastic. Cause like she, the whole premise, or not premise, but the backdrop to this movie that makes it more complex and what I kind of admire more, admire the movie for more is that it was, that it's a musical. And this kind of effort has not really been put together too often in the cinema. And to, I just remember myself in the first 5 minutes being, so all the dialogues are being sung and not spoken. So I was kind of thinking to myself, how are they going to carry this out for an entire 2.5 hours? And it's going to be awful. And after a while, it's going to kind of become really annoying. But they actually managed to carry that off really well. And I think the actors did a great job in making that happen. So just keeping that in mind, I think her performance was fantastic. It was like, so the way the movie is told is that she's essentially telling the stories of Jagga Jasus to a group of children. And these are essentially supposed to be children mystery stories. And she kind of sings her way through the stories and recites it as Jagga Jasus being a personal friend of hers. And yeah, and then she has, I think, the right tone where she's, you know, speaking to children, and she maintains that kind of tone to the movie the entire time, where it remains fun, even though they're discussing a serious topic in terms of, you know, the arms dealership. And the initial, you'll see in the first scene of the movie, the arms drop that they show, and this underlying issue is a very real issue, and it's based on a very real arms drop that happened in 1995 in Eastern India. And, you know, the fact that they managed to tell it through these stories, and yeah, I agree, you know, they've taken liberties in certain areas, like the scene you just mentioned, where Katrina's jumping up, they're all jumping up and down, and they managed to escape this thing. That was one of the few things that were completely unbelievable, but looked at through the prism of it being a children's book, I was still okay with that. And yeah, definitely the acting of her, and especially, and Ranbir as well.
Ranbir was definitely
was outstanding.
Yeah, and that has, I think, been universally acknowledged. But yeah, he was, again, really good, as he has been consistently for a while now. I thought, so the other great acting performance was from Ranbir's dad.
Right, yeah. I thought he was really good. He's also in Kahani. He's the hitman. Does a really good job in that one as well. And this was a pretty amazing performance. He actually makes the movie. A lot of his expressions and his videos that he sends to Ranbir, really, he plays the role really well.
Yeah, so Shashwata Chatterjee is the actor. He was really good. Saurabh Shukla, I thought, was like he was fine. He was average. He was what you would expect.
No, that's, I guess, the only guy where it was very status quo. There was nothing about his performance that was unique to this movie. It didn't really change anything to lighten the mood. It was mainly just like a typical Hindi movie villain.
Yeah. The other general thing about this movie is, like, there was obviously there was attention drawn to this before the movie as well. I feel like basically Anurag Basu should pay royalties to Tintin for this movie. Like, the entire premise of it is exactly like Tintin. The character of his is very similar to Tintin.
If we start going that route, every single movie made in India will be paying some sort of royalty to another.
That's also true.
/ TV show.
That's also true. But Anurag Basu is actually a special case, and I cannot take full credit for this next segment that I'm going to talk about. But one of my colleagues, Bharat Mishra, who's from Filtercopy, he wrote a great article on his personal blog, which I'll link to in the description, where he talks about all the references that Jagga Jasus makes, like the film makes. And apparently there's this line which Shashwata Chatterjee says, where he's like, "Chor ki chori jab tak pakdi na jaye, tab tak wo artist."
Yeah.
And that's almost like a cheeky nod to himself, because he got a lot of criticism also after Barfi, which, like, copied entire sequences from The Notebook, from Charlie Chaplin, from, like, various other things. And he defended himself by saying, no, it's a homage or whatever. And I feel like he's basically done the same thing here. And there's also another, and this is, like, goes really deep, this article, and one, like, which I found really interesting. There's a whole recurring theme of this in this film, which is about the red circle, which is when two people are destined to meet, then their paths will converge and they will come together in a red circle. And in the film, the quote is attributed to Gautam Buddha, whereas in reality, it's actually a reference from a film by a French filmmaker called Jean-Pierre Melville, who made a film called Le Cercle Rouge, in which the premise was exactly this, with a fictional quote by Gautam Buddha. And so I feel like Bharat's whole premise in his article is like Anurag Basu is just like challenging people to find all the places where he's like taken the piss and basically taken inspiration from other sources, but it is still original enough in his thought and his execution that the film as a whole cannot be just called a copy or an imitation.
I completely agree with that. He might be influenced very strongly, I guess, in this case, by various different works. But if you're going to make a movie and you're going to copy a bunch of stuff, at least do it like this. Like, this is, I don't know, it feels very it feels original. And I think a lot of that owes to the kind of the spontaneity of the acting as well, because you can't almost imagine anyone doing what some of the things that Ranbir's done in this movie. He's like, I watched the film with my parents, and right after we were kind of discussing the movie in general, and they mentioned how Ranbir's acting was almost too good, where they don't see him as much of a star power. And that's such a reference to how films have been in the last 20 years, and how the leading male actor in these movies has to almost be larger than the character in the film. And I think Ranbir does a really good job of not doing that and just completely immersing himself in the role, where you just can't even see, you know, if you see the guy on TV and you see the way he behaves and compare it to how he is in the movie, there's almost no overlap. So I think he really does a good job with that. And he is a good actor as opposed to a good star.
Which is a good thing, because as a star, he can be pretty.
Yeah, I certainly think so.
The AIP podcast with Ranbir Kapoor also just came out. I unfortunately haven't had time to listen to it all of it. But he's apparently pretty candid in the early part of the podcast, where he's just like, producing a movie with Anurag Basu is pointless because like the other producers don't matter. Anurag Basu just like does what he wants because he's the only person who can envision this stuff and knows like how to get it done. So
yeah, I mean, with a movie like this, I feel like if there were two contrasting visions, they would look really poor, because there's so much stuff going on that it has to be kind of be one guy's vision to hold it all together and make
it also story. Yeah, it also leads to problems, which I think he was alluding to, in that no one else can actually see that until the whole thing comes together, because there's almost like two separate processes happening. There's one process happening of just actually shooting it, and then one of like making it look on screen the way it does with the music and with all of that. And so he was like, before the movie, I had no expectations of it being good. Inside, though, I'm sure these are not planted, staged comments.
At this stage, definitely. Yeah.
Music was...
Wait a few months or years to see what he really feels about it.
Music was good, I thought.
Yeah, I really like a couple of the songs.
Because, the same mistake.
Again, like, you know, it's amazing how, Kalki same mistake, and then the one where he says she's bad lucky that's really good as well. And, you know, in a movie like this, since it is a musical, you almost have to kind of plug songs in, right? But it's funny how these songs mean more. Even though there's so many of them, than most songs in Hindi movies, where they're just kind of like dropped in the middle and they have no context. These are actual songs where the words mean something to the overall story and move the story forward.
I agree with that, but I also found it funny that even in a musical where the songs have been used like that, they still found a couple of instances to just drop songs in there without any real context or any real this thing.
Which one?
The whole Ullu Ka Patta, when they're in Kenya and they're just like dancing.
Pishwari just wanted an excuse to curse on his podcast.
There have been many more and more worse curses than Ullu Ka Patta on this podcast. I've been called worse things than by my co-stars, but that doesn't make it on the air.
Well deserved, I'm sure.
Even Galti Se Mistake, to be honest, is just like a random song that's there in the middle. It's a good song, so it works. This is about him growing up and going a year older. It's like, the lyrics to that are also questionable at points, which I only realized after like listening to it multiple times, like on Saavan.
All right, we'll let them get away with that one. Budget for this film is 50 crores, right? You think they make it?
It depends on who you believe for the budget, to whether the budget is 50 crores or 100 crores or 120 crores. Like, everyone, this is one of those films where there's no clear this thing. They're doing, so the...
Wait, so you're telling me Wikipedia isn't a good source?
Wikipedia, who knows? Who knows? Let's see, Forbes.com, $16 million. That's probably a good budget. That's probably a good source. $16 million US dollars. What's that in rupees?
Hold on, let me call my agent.
Okay. Adblock Plus is not allowing me to open Forbes.com. Sorry, listeners, you're just going to have...
102 crores.
That's $16 million?
Please, yeah.
Yeah, so that is according to Forbes. So let's go with that. with that, so I think that's 100 crores, etc., including promotion and marketing, advertising, whatever. I think that is going to be difficult for them to make just on theatrical, but I don't think they would have expected to make that on theatrical anyway. So the opening day was kind of low, but it picked up. So it made 33 crores on opening weekend, which is pretty good. I think better than what most people expected for a film like this, which no one really knows what it's going to be. I think if they stretch that to get to 50, 60 crores, then they'll probably cover up the rest with satellite rights and distribution rights and stuff.
Okay, and you don't think, and they should be able to do that, right? Just it seems like it'll run more on word of mouth than the initial release, like you said, because as people watch it and say it, you know, as people listen to this podcast and go out to the theaters, this thing should probably achieve that.
It should achieve 50 to 60 for sure. The disadvantage it has is that it's not exactly a clean run, because you have Lipstick Under My Burqa and Munna Michael, which both of them are probably... Lipstick Under My Burqa actually could be good, but again, it's a very niche thing. But Munna Michael is probably going to be shit, but it's like a mainstream, all the masses will go to that. So for your mass audience, which is not really your target base, you have a ready alternative coming in, which will reduce your chances of penetrating that market. And for your multiplex audience, which is still your best bet, you also have an alternative for them. In some ways, if Munna Michael was the only release, then it might have been better, because then all the multiplex audience would have gone for Jagga. Whereas now they also have Lipstick to choose from.
Fair enough. But that possibly, you know, you could argue that doesn't have the star power that this one does.
Yeah, fair enough. But like for a multiplex audience, that may not matter as much. If we assume multiplex audiences are intelligent consumers of content, which is again a dangerous assumption to make.
Alright, I guess we'll just have to wait a few months and hold you accountable on this.
Sure. That became very businessy all of a sudden. Let's switch gears. Anything else about this movie? One thing I suddenly remembered is, on the topic of music, they did a lot of like nice like little things. Like the start of the movie, there was this like little song playing in the background about like putting off your phones and mobiles and being respectful to the audience. And the lyrics were really funny, because they were just like, now that you've come here, who knows, you know, what kind of a ride we've taken you on, made some sort of action adventure musical, whatever, like kuch to khichdi bana ke dal diya, ab tumhe hi dekhna padega. Like it was like really self-aware and really funny, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, that was definitely, I actually thought that was unique to, I didn't realize that was part of the movie. I thought that was just something they were showing in the theaters, because usually that message of turning out your cell phones is not part of the movie.
Cool. So switching gears, the IFA Awards happened in New York this past weekend. And our erstwhile colleague Mansha, who could not join us on this podcast, but was at the IFA Awards live in New York. Well, they say New York, it was actually in New Jersey. But okay, we can give them that. She had this to say, and we don't have a soundbite, unfortunately, but we got her feedback via iMessage. Which is, the quality of award shows has degraded. Performances are great, but the jokes are terrible. And to which my response was, award shows are kind of a joke anyway. And she said, but I feel Filmfare scripts are slightly more well thought out than this. So that's how low the bar is, and it still failed. I asked her how the crowd was, and she said the crowd was pretty bad, but I wouldn't expect more. And she didn't elaborate on that, so I don't know what that means. But I was watching the IFA. Did you watch the IFA Awards? It was on TV.
I did not watch them. I didn't quite make it. But I think part of a reaction might also be, have you ever gone to one of these award shows live?
I have not, but I've heard it's a disaster.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think I actually enjoy watching them on TV, but I couldn't stand like being there just waiting you know, while in between performances for like 4 hours, 5 hours.
I understand that, but I also understand, like, I started watching it on TV, and with these award shows now, I can never watch it in one sitting anymore. I have to spread it out over like 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah, dude, I just watch like 20, 30 minutes a day. They anyway go on for like 3 hours. No, so honestly, it's like the kind of presenting and the jokes and stuff is really flat. It's like very obvious that they're like reading off a piece of paper or something. It feels very rehearsed and fake and like not spontaneous. The jokes aren't even funny. If you compare it to like an Oscars or an Emmys or something, those things are really well thought out and really performed well. Whereas here it's just like, whatever, let's just do this for the heck of it because we get paid.
Yeah, do you think part of that is to do with the fact that these are just regular actors kind of doing this, whereas at the Oscars and a lot of the award ceremonies recently, they've been hiring comedians to do this, so they're naturally more inclined to that stand-up sort of routine versus actors are not really stand-up comedians, right?
So no, but I mean, I think...
It's different.
It is, I get your point, but I mean, I think it's also just a question of their own personal motivation to do this because, and the quality of the writing as well, right? And obviously very different context, very different show, but Karan Johar as the host of AIB Knockout was like amazing. Karan Johar as the host of Coffee with Karan is pretty good, but as the host of Filmfare is pretty weak. And so I think that is partly to do with their motivation themselves and partly to do with the quality of the writing. The other thing that to watch makes it horrible is it's been like 25 years or more since I've been watching Filmfare. Well, not 25 years since I've been watching, but it's obviously been around for like years and years. And basic things which you should have learned to do better by now, you haven't learned to do better. Like showing the exact same shot of an actor every 10 seconds whenever his name is mentioned. This, like, literally, dude, I watched it for 10 minutes today. There's this one shot of Salman where he's like looking to the left with his arms like spread out wide, like he's chilling. And that shot, every time anything to do with Salman or to do with whatever they perceive Salman will feel strongly about will come up. So if we talk about how well Dangal did at the box office and compared Dangal to Sultan, even if they don't compare Dangal to Sultan, they'll show Salman sitting like this with the thing to the side. And the same shot every time. There is another thing which I didn't see live but was picked up quite commonly. There is a freaking shot of Katrina presenting the award for best something. And then it cuts to the audience where Katrina is sitting.
Oh boy. Alright, so that's...
Like, just basic stuff like that. It's like, you're a Colors Viacom 18, you're a... multi whatever dollar production house, you should be able to get these things right.
That's fair. Those sound like fixable things though. I guess in terms of actually making the experience better and the jokes better and stuff, how about giving everyone in the audience the opportunity to vote on how a performer does?
No, but
I feel like that'll be incentive enough. So every single time the guy cracks a joke, or you can even make it as like an end of the night rating, they rate the comedian or the host on how he did.
I don't think they'd care about that.
I feel like that'd be incentive enough.
I don't think they'd care.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if it's talked about on national television, they care. No one wants to be called a bad host.
I think the problem is also that there are just so many shows, the value of each one has like degraded significantly. I feel like they should just merge it all into one big this thing. But obviously, for commercial reasons, no one will do that.
Yeah, there's no way that's happening because it's too much TV money that goes into it.
Yeah, which is stupid. Yeah, because like honestly, like the performances are like pretty good. I mean, sure. But then you just go to watch a performance like a dance show, right? You don't go to watch an award show. But in terms of the awards themselves, couple of things I found interesting. A is that Dangal has just been completely blanked out.
Right.
In some cases, it's positive because I feel like Shahid Kapoor does deserve Best Actor for Urta Punjab, which he won. And it also then gives some smaller films like... So Nirja won Best Movie, which is, you know, it's good for a movie of that subject to win. Pink won Best Director, which I personally don't feel is a meritocratic choice. But then it gets to, like, it becomes very suspicious when, like, Dangal doesn't win anything. Despite this thing,
right,
that it's got.
Yeah. No, I was also hearing something to that effect this morning about it being, or allegations that it was rigged in whatever way, and Amir Khan's history of ignoring these sorts of events kind of leading to that. And yeah, that I certainly things that affects the credibility of an award.
No, but there's precedent for this, right? Like the Star Screen Awards. IFA happens half a year after the end of the year in June. Star Screen Awards happens, the awards actually happened like in December 2016. And the awards were actually held the weekend before Dangal released. So they didn't even wait for Dangal to release. They just went with the whole award show, gave out all the awards and deliberately excluded it from the thing, which is, I feel, is completely wrong.
Yeah, no, but hold on. Is it not clear every year when cutoff date is for a movie to be eligible for these awards?
It's always
a lot of, at least in Hollywood, a lot of movies aim to release right before
the cutoff date, so they're
fresh in the mind of reviewers.
You're making the classic mistake of assuming Bollywood is logical and rational and has rules. For the Oscars and stuff, there are like clear distincts and whatever in place. Over here, it's just like an understanding that it's the calendar year. I would be very surprised if there are like clear guidelines set. And their whole this thing was like, we want to, like you said, right? The whole motivation behind the award shows is TV money, which is the problem. So Star Plus made a decision, or whoever ended up telecasting the Screen Awards. I don't think it's Star anymore. I think it's Colors only. Probably Colors made a decision that I want to capitalize on this New Year primetime slot. We're going to ignore Dangal anyway. So let's just make the most of it, have the awards before and air it on 31st December, which is what they did. They didn't need to make a declaration that we're excluding Aamir Khan, but it was implied because that's, they just went and did it. So basically that is the criteria that comes into play for these award shows. It's who, and that's why they have no credibility, because everyone knows this is the name of the game, and that's the problem.
I completely agree that it becomes less of an award show, right? Like you said, you're just kind of watching an entertainment event, which, to be honest, I don't think a lot of people care. You don't really quote people saying, hey, this guy won the IFA award in 2007, right? Because no one really remembers that shit. That tells you that these awards,
I feel,
matter.
Like people kind of used to for Film Fair, but even now that is gone. Like, no one cares.
Film Fair, yes, I recall somebody saying he won the Film Fair for that.
Yeah, but I feel like even that impact has gone down in the last 10 years, which we discussed when.
Yeah, I think the ones that people actually care about are like the National Award or something. Yeah. Like, what did Saif win for? I'm forgetting the name of this movie right now. He did like an offbeat sort of movie in the early 2000s that was really good with Urmila Matondkar. Ek Haseena Thi.
He won a national award for that.
In 2004. And he won some award for that. And I still remember that because I remember it being almost like an indie film. And it was clearly not by one of these big production houses and not in the mold of a lot of the movies being made at that time. But when I watched that movie, I was so impressed by the way he acted and the fact that he got an award for that. That award ceremony kind of holds a little distinction in my mind because it awarded someone for an independent movie or a performance in an independent movie. So.
Yeah. National awards tend to be better, but even now in the last couple of years, they've come under flap for being more Bollywoodish and just having like
prejudice.
Yeah, like Akshay Kumar won the national award for Rustam, which was like not even his best film in that year. It sometimes is like a bit difficult to figure out exactly what goes on, but okay, whatever, fair enough. The other thing about the IFA Awards, which was like really bizarre, was just like there's been this whole debate about nepotism in Bollywood for the last few months.
Last few months?
Weeks, months, couple of months at least.
Decades?
I mean, yeah, okay, but in extra focus in the last couple of months after Kangana, etc. And despite that, like Karan Johar, Saif and Varun Dhawan did this whole bit, which I guess was meant to be sarcastic, but was delivered as though they were just being like sincere about how they are all just there because of their fathers and like, yay for nepotism, which just came across as just really weird and kind of not self-aware, which nepotism brings us very nicely to Adar Jain, who was launched last month by YRF. Did you see this, by the way?
No, don't think so.
So Adar Jain was launched whatever that means. They made an announcement on social media that Adar Jain and Anya Singh are our newest stars or whatever. And
yeah,
they came out with a set of posters for each. And like literally every single poster of Adar Jain was just talking about how he's a star kid and how, and making this thing to his heritage. So like, there's one where he's like, even before I was an actor, I had my godfather. Or there's one, this thing which is like, my grandfather is a legend, I am just an aspiring actor. There's one which is like,
oh, I did see
Kapoor
that.
Is not my surname, that. But films run in my blood.
At the very least, they're honest about
That's
it.
One take, but it's also just like, why? Because, it's just such bad PR.
Yeah, no, all of that is fine, but what else would they, like, if you are going to put out a movie poster, what are you even going to say?
No, but this,
was,
but this isn't this a movie guy. Poster. It is a Adar Jain launch for no reason. Like, you, like, early when you launch someone, you just release the trailer of their film, which they've now done a month later, or not a month, but 2-3 weeks later. In some ways, after watching the trailer, I understand why they maybe didn't want to lead with the trailer. It's pretty awful, in my view. What did you think?
I was, when they first showed the topic of, which is just major or mass incarceration in India, that you're like, oh, okay, so that sounds like an interesting movie could be made out of that. But then it's just, there's a bunch of people dancing around and they have to put the staples in, the things that they know are going to be draws for an audience regardless of the story. And those things are just people singing and dancing, right? Which they think, you know, we'll hire some good people to do the music and we know we have good choreographers for the songs. So, you know, who gives us two hoots about the actual story that we're telling? Let's just make our trailer the way we always make our trailer. And the only thing different will be the actors and a few of the sets. And it feels like another product in an assembly line of the production house, as opposed to any sort of creative thought being put into a new movie. So that was kind of my view on it, where, you know, a slightly different topic has been chosen, but it's exactly the same formula, and the only thing different about it is the topic.
Yeah, it's a recurring problem, I feel, whenever I watch any Yash Raj film these days, where I'm like, this is just a formula. They have like 3-4 different types of formulas that they keep recycling with one element that changes. Over here, it's in a jail. Okay, cool. Like, Befikre, it's like, okay, it's in Paris and it's about like them being progressive and living, like, except not really. Every Salman film is a Salman film. So like, I don't even think it matters what element changes there. But like, over, like, we were discussing this just before we started recording, like, over the last few years, from a content perspective, like, Yash Raj's ratio of good, I mean, saying good or not good is a subjective thing, but like, content heavy films versus just formulaic films has been pretty low. Like, in the last 3-4 years, there's been Dam Laga Ke Hai Sha, Byomkesh Bakshi, and Fan, which I would count as being like something, and even Fan in the second half kind of devolves into just another formulaic mess. So kind of like 2.5 films, and then a few other halves here and there, like Mardani and Meri Pyari Bindu and stuff. But then in between that, there is so much mediocrity. Befikre, Kill Dil, Daawat-e-Ishq, Gunde, Dhoom 3. So it's just like...
Yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to actually look into, because they've been doing this for a while, right? And everyone who watches their movies kind of acknowledges what they're doing. Now, it'll be good to look into whether it's still working for them and whether the amount is still working the same way, in terms of, are they still producing commercial hits and that's what's keeping this going, the cycle, or is that starting to dwindle as well, and actually see how much money they're putting into the movie and how these films are doing. So maybe that's a little work we can do and kind of get back to listeners on, to see whether the trend is pushing them towards changing what they're doing, or, and will we be seeing more creative pieces, or is it just going to be rolling out stuff from the production house?
Damn, Shaz. TIC investigative research. I like it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay. This has been a long conversation. Do we have anything else to talk about?
Well, put it like that.
My voice seems to have become better. Actually, rather I think about it. Because the whole day I've been talking and been very conscious of how my voice sounds like complete crap. But now I all of a sudden feel like I could keep going and going. Maybe I should have recorded this yesterday itself when we were supposed to, but I postponed.
Pish, you've been liberated by the plot.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's just talking to you, Shaz, is just such a great experience.
All right, let's stop patting ourselves on the back. Good night.
Should we talk about the Premier League? That's starting soon. Sure, listeners want to hear that. Speaking of which, okay, this is actually a legitimate thing. Why was, like, this is, no, hear me out. Dude, I was watching the Champions League final in India, and Ranveer Singh was, like, not anchoring, but he was, like, pitch side giving, like, a pitch report on the atmosphere and, like, all this stuff. And I was like, why are you here?
Really?
Yeah, really.
Dude, because it's the star power. They can do whatever they want.
But it was really bizarre because it's like, and you know, for non-football fans, feel free to tune out now. Nothing in the rest of this podcast will interest you. But like, literally, it's like the people in the studio are like Andrew Lessie and like proper sports. I don't remember exactly who, but like proper journalists and pundits who know what they're talking about. And they are sitting in their studio talking to Ranveer Singh, being like, "So Ranveer, what's the mood like with the fans?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It's the biggest occasion in world football and all this nonsense." And I'm just watching this wondering, like, what is this? What is this? What is happening? Like, why are we doing this?
Do you remember when Mandira Bedi hosted the World Cup of Cricket?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, cricket is a different thing.
Why is it different?
Because, like, cricket is, she was also like a host. Actually, yeah, it's not that different.
Yeah.
I don't have a non-sexist explanation to this. So my answer is that India is sexist, but yeah. But at least we've improved there. So like from Mandira Bedi, who was just there for God knows what, we have Mayanti Langer, who at least knows what she's talking about.
Cue sexist comment. Sure.
Yeah. No, but like the point is now, and we have like Lisa Stalekar and all doing commentary. So you have women who are genuinely there and contribute.
Fair enough.
Whereas you had Mandira Bedi, who clearly didn't know anything about cricket. That's the problem. And like with Mayanti Langer, the broadcasters are still sexist with her because they keep making her dress up in these like really elaborate outfits and stuff where she's clearly uncomfortable.
For sure, women can wear whatever they want.
But she doesn't look like she's wearing whatever she wants. That's the point. She looks like she's been forced to wear something where she's really uncomfortable and is therefore being judged for it.
No comment.
But she's contributing. Whereas with Mandira Bedi, the thing is like, she would just say like idiotic things. And so the problem with Mandira Bedi was not that she was a woman. Like I have equal issues with Ajay Jadeja doing commentary. I think they are both, I equate Ajay Jadeja and Mandira Bedi as being equally bad because they are both clueless.
Dude, he played cricket. That's a ridiculous statement. He played for India. He definitely has more insight to provide.
But he was. But he wasn't providing those insights. That's the, when he commentates, he doesn't provide those insights. He's just there, wasting space. Okay, now we've really digressed. But
I hope you're cutting this entire section out.
No. Well, we'll see. I don't have a producer, Ben, but producer Pish will take that call. Producer Pish is pretty different from host Aditya, to be fair. Inside jokes. Okay, see you guys.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.